Well, this Advent, as you can see by the screen in the front of your bulletin, we're going to be looking at the real gifts of Christmas as we try to get to the heart of what the real blessing is, what we really receive at Christmas. And there's two ways that we're going to do this, one through the Word, but the other through one of the most classic Christmas films that there is, and that's It's a Wonderful Life. As George Bailey has to really look at not only what the real gift of Christmas is, but what the real gift of life is. And so each week we're going to see a little clip of the movie that's going to take us through a journey with George Bailey as we go through the journey of the Bible and try to get to Christmas morning with the heart of what the message is. And so as we look at this first clip, we go to where George Bailey is sitting and having dinner with his father, Peter Bailey, and talking about George's future. George has just finished 4 years working in the family business, raising money to go off to college, and his father invites him to conversation about what the future holds. And sometimes this isn't the easiest of conversations and isn't always the happiest of ones. And so let's look and see what unfolds as George and Peter begin this conversation about the future. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's George and Peter wrestling between where's hope and where's darkness. And George sees hope in going to college and living dreams of building big buildings and moving to the city. And he sees darkness as being kept in Bedford Falls, in the walls of the building and loan business, pinching pennies and being under the thumb of Mr. Potter. Now Peter Bailey sees hope in the building and loan, of being able to provide housing for people in the community. And here they wrestle back and forth, and even the father's wrestling of whether or not he wants his son to stay there in Bedford Falls and be part of the family or release him off into the world to go and live his dreams. If you keep watching the movie, you'll see that George, who has these dreams of going to college, these dreams of this big career, ends up being kept in Bedford Falls because of family situation, kept in what he sees as this dark place that many of us can find ourselves in. We've got all the hopes and dreams. We've got all this that we want to be, all this that we want to do, all this that we see that can be there. But then life can happen, and in this stumbling, we find ourselves in darkness. I was trying to find some good images of what this darkness is, of what we could relate to. And here's these pictures that I found, these pictures that to me really hit home that I could relate to. And here's our first. What a sad looking thing. I introduce you all to Captain America Dixon. This is how I found Captain. And Captain's story is that Captain had a family. Captain had a home. Captain had that dream of a dog to have somebody to care for them. And then one day, unbeknownst to Captain, this mom that Captain had that had been caring for him took him to a shelter, dropped him off, and left never to be seen again. And here's Captain plunged in to the darkest place for a dog, being in a scary, cold shelter, not knowing if he would ever go back to a warm and loving home. Captain, at this point, you could see his ribs from being hungry. You could see the sadness and the darkness in his eyes. I don't know if he had hope at this point. I don't know if he thought all was lost and that's all he would ever know. There's some of us that find ourselves in this place where things are going well, the train's on track, life is what it's supposed to be, and then something happens and we find ourselves plunged into a dark place. I remember one day in middle school, and life was good. I had friends to hang out with, and you know, in middle school, that's where the level of expectation for me was. People to hang out with, knowing who you're going to sit with at lunch and hang out with during the breaks. And then one day, this person I called friend, this person that I trusted, opening my heart to and my life, one day in the girls' bathroom just said, "I don't want to be your friend anymore," and walked out. That's the picture of how I felt. That sudden rejection. That sudden being told, "You're not worth my time and my friendship." It happens in middle school. It happens in high school. It happens in adulthood. Suddenly one day somebody saying, "You're not worth it." It can come from a friend. It can come from a loved one, a family member. It can come through a job and a pink slip. It can feel that way with a diagnosis. It can come that way when a wave hits of bad news or destruction. And where do we find ourselves? But in the dark night of the soul, right? Lonely, disappointed, frustrated, hurt, grieving. The sadness that we don't know if we're going to come out of it. This place of uncertainty that just darkens our soul. Here's Captain in that place. I've been there. Have you been there? Have you felt that? The rejection, the darkness. But it doesn't just come that way. Because here's my second picture. Now I introduce you to Peter Parker Dixon. And Parker, you can see he's a bit scruffy. And it's obvious Parker did not come from a warm home where he was cared for. Parker was picked up by animal control. He'd been wandering the streets for who knows how long. The nappiness and the nodding of his hair showed it. The stuff that was stuck into it that showed that he'd been living on the street. This was a dog where his darkness didn't come from rejection. It didn't come from being dropped off in a place of uncertainty. His darkness was in a wandering and lost, big and scary world. And sometimes we're here in this place where we can see the wear and tear of the world, where we've been lost, where the future seemed uncertain, to where we just don't know where we're going. There's a real loneliness that comes from this one. There's a real darkness that comes from being scared and alone and out there in the world. We can absolutely feel this one just as much. The not knowing where the next meal's coming from. Not knowing where you're going to lay your head tonight. Just not knowing. I realize as I look at these, for some people, these images are the relationship with God. There's some people like Peter Parker here that they've just never had that relationship. They've been spending a lifetime lost and wandering without God. And that lost and wandering has been a dark place without that creator, savior, sustainer, to be with them. Do you know people like that? That they're going through rough times, but the times are even rougher because they don't have God to turn to. They don't have God to guide them. They don't have God to sustain them and hold them up in those tough times. Or like Captain. I know those ones too. Those that have had a relationship with God. Those that have grown up in the church and have spent their time studying the Bible, but life events happen, and the wounding that happens separates them from God. That they see God like Captain's human, as the one that's dropped them off and rejected them, that they blame God for the wounding and what's happened. But They separate themselves from God. And so when they go through the darkness, that darkness is combined with an anger at God and a disappointment in God not coming through. There's all sorts of dark places we can be in as humans. Darkness you see all through the scriptures. Darkness, which I found with this great definition. I love the internet. I love Googling darkness, and what do I find? Darkness is the absence of light. You cannot see darkness. Darkness cannot exist with light. Darkness only comes when everything else is gone. Darkness isn't created. Darkness isn't a substance. Darkness is what happens when we don't have the light. Darkness is what happens when we're not feeling the joy of life. Darkness is what happens when we don't see hope in a situation. Darkness, like I said, is all through the scriptures. Read the darkness in Job. As Job loses everything, and the world just gets darker and darker. Read the darkness for Abraham as he hiked up the mountain, ready to sacrifice his son. Read the darkness in Ruth and Naomi as they lost all the men in their family. Read the darkness over and over again of women who couldn't have children, the one job that they saw that they had and were rejected from it. That darkness that we see with Elizabeth and Zechariah in our scripture this morning. Because right before the passage that CL read, what does it tell us? But it tells us in the time of Herod, king of Judah, which right there is darkness. King Herod brought dark times upon Israel with his rule and his rules. And there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. These are the people that by God's word should be blessed because they were doing what was right in the sight of the Lord, faithful and obedient. But scripture tells us, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Here's two people that were feeling the darkness of not being able to have children, feeling the darkness of knowing that they were living a life for the Lord, doing what God wanted. And the blessing they wanted most, a child, was not coming their way. They were in this dark time. It was the kind of time that Israel was in, feeling the darkness of the Roman government, feeling the darkness and the pains of their sins, feeling the darkness of this broken relationship with God that no matter what they tried, they couldn't repair. Why were they in darkness? Because they couldn't do what they wanted to do. It was outside of their control. And so for Elizabeth and Zechariah in Israel, this was a dark time and had been a dark time for generation after generation. But then we hear these words of Desmond Tutu. What a wise and incredible man. And what does he say about darkness? He looks at the opposite, and he says, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Hope is being able to see the light despite all the darkness. Sometimes we can't see the light. Elizabeth and Zechariah said, we're beyond the age of this. The light and the possibility and the hope of being parents is gone. Some say situations are hopeless. There's nothing more we can do. But hope says that God is always possible. God can come through at any time. I remember one dark place. The dark place was the day that I thought that I was going to walk away from the possibility of being a pastor. See, in the Methodist Church, our ordination process is not necessarily a simple or easy process to get to this place. And when I was trying to get commissioned, trying to get into that first stage, I was on my third year of trying, 2 years of just not being able to get papers done by the deadline in the midst of school and having a child and working at a church as a pastor. Life was just overwhelming, and I missed the deadline, and I was so frustrated. And finally, I persisted, and I got the deadline, and I got my papers turned in, and this box of stuff that I had to mail in. There had to be a DVD of me preaching, and there had to be bulletins, and there had to be all of my papers, and there had to be Bible studies, and all these things that had to go in this box. And they had to be in by the postmark date. And on the postmark date, of course, on the day of the deadline, that box went to the post office. And oh, the weight that was off my shoulders. I finally made the deadline. This was going to be my year. I'm going to make it this year, and I got faith in those papers, and I'm going to pass those papers, and I'm going to get interviews, and I'm going to do good in those interviews, and I'm going to get my commissioning. And then a couple days after I'd put that box in the mail, and just felt joy at succeeding and getting that done, I get a call from the registrar of the Board of Ordained Ministry. And he said, "Stacy, I've got this box on my desk with my name, and it's from you, and it's all of your commissioning stuff, but there's no postmark on it. There's no proof that you mailed it on time. I don't think I can accept this box. You probably have to wait another year." I hung up that phone and I started screaming. I started screaming at all the frustration of feeling like God was shutting the door. And if I finally made the deadline and I got everything together and I got it in, that if this box gets rejected, it's God saying, "This is not your path," despite everything you feel in your heart and in your spirit and in your calling. And I yelled at God, and I yelled at anybody that would listen, and I was ready, if that box got rejected, to walk away. That was the darkness that I felt, the darkness of feeling rejected by God, feeling God saying, "This is not you. Go search for something else." And for me, I couldn't even think of something else. I could not have told you plan B, because I was so confident in what God's plans for me were. And Desmond Tutu says, "Hope is believing in the light." And where did I have to find that hope? Where did I had to find that light? Was in those who had been there. Those who had been through this darkness, that had been through the frustration, that had persisted and had the patience and told me, "I believe in you. Have faith in God, and God will get you through." I couldn't put it on me. The strength, the energy, all of it was not inside of me. But it was inside those around me that God had put around me to hold me up on the days I wanted to give up. God was in them. And they provided that little bit of light that I needed to say, "Okay, I'll have faith." And by the way, they accepted the box. I don't know how they accepted the box. They accepted the box, and I passed the papers, and I passed the interviews, and I got commissioned, and then did the whole thing all over again to get ordained. But for a minute, all I could see was the darkness. We have those times in life where we feel like we're plunged into the darkness. We feel like what's needed is not in us, that we're not capable, that we're not strong enough, that we just can't do it. If you're feeling that, I could say I've been there, and that which I give is just one of many examples of the dark times of life. But God asks us to persist. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they get the news from angel Gabriel that that baby is inside of Elizabeth, that that hope is inside of her, and that hope is just the beginning of the greater hope. That greater hope that we read about in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse that says, the people walking in darkness, the people of Israel, God's people walking through dark times. But it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. God says, I see your darkness. I see your struggles. I see your pain and your frustration and your loneliness. I see all of it. And I am providing the light at the end of the darkness. Here he's referring to Christ the child, because later on, just like 4 verses later, it says, and unto us a child is born. That's why we begin Advent with this first candle of hope, to show that we have been in darkness and that one light glimmers that tells us Christ is coming. And when does Christ come? When we've exhausted all other resources, when it's no longer in our capabilities, when it's no longer in our control, when we get to that point where we have to surrender and say, it's no longer me. And that's the point where God manifests himself in our life. It says, the darkness is done. I will provide the light. And in this journey, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter until that final candle, that candle that says, the darkness is dispelled by the brightest light, that of Christ Jesus. I pray that if you are somebody that's experiencing darkness, if you're somebody that's been experiencing disappointment or frustration or pain or loneliness or fear or uncertainty, if you felt the disappointment and the hardships of this life, I pray that you will not take up permanent residence in that darkness, but that you will take the season of Advent as a journey from darkness to light, pinning your hope not in what you are capable of, not how you can pick you up from your bootstraps, not how you can relieve yourself of the pain and the frustration and the sadness, but pinning your hope on Christ, the child that was born to dispel our darkness, was born to comfort our pain, was born to be present in our loneliness, was born to guide us through our frustrations and our wanderings, was born to give us a hope of something that is so much bigger than us, and so much bigger than this world that we live in. So how do we do that this Advent season? How do we turn our hearts to God, to surrender the darkness, to admit what it is, to acknowledge what we are feeling, and tell the Lord, not of my power, not of my will, not of my doing, but let it be of yours. Because the darkness is the absence of light, and the light is in Christ. And so let us journey towards Christmas to get to the place where that light can dispel our darkness and be the hope and the answers that we are seeking through our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. My friends, will you pray with me? Creator God. In the beginning, you created this world. And one of the first things that you did was to separate the light from the dark. And there are days that we are walking in that light, and life is good. But there are days like George Bailey. There are days like that sad captain and that ratty Parker, where we just feel the wear and tear of this world. We feel the pains and the hurts and the cuts of the words and the actions of people around us. And we find ourselves living in the darkness. Living in that place that we don't desire to be, but we just don't know how to get out of it. And God, you know that darkness. You understand that darkness because you've been there and you've lived this life in human, fleshy form. You knew the darkness on that cross. You knew the darkness in death. But you experienced that darkness. You went through that death so that we could live in the light, so that we could have hope eternal, so that we could have a relationship that's not apart from you, but that is in you. And we just pray that this Advent season, as we begin it here at your communion table, that we can seek hope this season, that we can search out that light no matter how dark things may feel, that in our hearts that we can have the faith that you are that light and that you will help us to get there. Lord, may this be a journey that we take with you and that we take with one another, seeking to leave the darkness, seeking to leave the place of pain and discomfort and find the place of joy that's filled with your love. For that is what this season is for, moving from darkness to light, apart from you, to a place in love with you. Help us on this journey. Guide us with your Holy Spirit and let us hold one another up until we reach that place of light. For all this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.